You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
1 Kings chapter 10. We're looking at the close of the age in which we live, when Jerusalem will become Mystery Babylon, that is, that secret Babylon. It's going to become the greatest city this world has ever known. It will be a time in which peace will be present on this planet for at least a period of 40 years. We have a preview of it in a miniature way in past history. There have been twice in the history of man that we've been able to keep records when there's been a peace on this planet for 40 years. Once in the golden age of Solomon, and once again when that Prince of Peace came down. Even the Temple of Junius in Rome was opened. Our doors were closed, rather. The doors of that temple always stayed open so the people could come and pray for the soldiers at war. For 40 years, our Lord, when he was here on this planet, that temple was closed. Rome was not at war. It's true it was a hellish peace, but nevertheless it was peace. But the Golden Age, which we'll look at, gives a little preview of things to come. Actually, if we're correct in our assumption, we're right back at the first chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter said, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And I believe we're almost there. I sure hope so. If we are, a quick scenario just to, before we get into this. If we are, so supposing that we're correct and Elijah comes next year, we will enter a time of enlightenment and peace, prosperity, this world never even dreamed of. It's hard for us to realize that that's happened once already. And they have a pattern. The sad thing about that golden age, which we didn't read about, is the next chapter. And let me read it just for a minute. King Solomon loved many strange women. Together the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zodonites, and Hittites. The nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "You shall not go into them, neither shall you there. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, and Solomon clave unto these in love." He had 700 wives, princes, 300 concubines. That's the common people. His wives turned away his heart. It came to pass from Solomon's old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of Zidonites, after Malcolm, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Solomon built a high place of Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hills before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifices unto their gods. So that just like the golden age before, the golden age that now we are about to enter into will end in calamity. This is why, in the restoration of Israel, God will enlighten mankind. You see, if God brought down the wrath of the book of Revelation upon humanity today, it would never be understood. Now, God does not have to justify himself for anything he does, but he always does justify himself. And There'll be no excuse for anybody on this planet. It was into that time of awful hell on this planet, as it will be and is recorded in the book of Revelation. There'll be no reason for anybody to be ignorant about what's happening. They'll know exactly. It'll be open rebellion, just like Solomon's was. Solomon spoke with God on two different occasions. He was well instructed. So he had enlightenment. Not only did he have enlightenment, but he's the wisest man in the administration of human government this world has ever known. The economics of his time was so great. Notice carefully these words, very carefully. Queen of Sheba, of course, she was the queen of Abyssinia, what she really was. And that's a part of the Egyptian culture, which at that time was the highest knowledge that men had. So when she came as a representative of the world to seek out if what had been said about Solomon was true. And it says she had no spirit left. She was staggered by it. Not only so, but verse 23 says that Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God put in his heart. When Israel is restored, it is written that 10 men shall take hold of the skirt of him who is a Jew, say, we will go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. Solomon is symbolic of that. That golden city, that golden age. Solomon's income, personal income now, mind you, in American money today is $137 million a year. That's just in gold. Not to enumerate the merchandising of the things that pass through there, the mules, the horses, the gold, the trading that went on there. No wonder we read in Revelation concerning destruction of the final state of things, that the great merchants of the earth will stand afar off at this, as they see the smoke of Mr. Babylon in destruction. Jerusalem is to become a city that will reach from its present location to the sea. It's about 35 miles. And perhaps one of the most natural harbors in the world is at Old Joppa. That's probably where. And there are three natural harbors in the Mediterranean Sea that could be. But Old Joppa will probably be the place where the world's commerce will come to. We're going to be dealing with this more in depth as to the location and things next week. But I want you to see today the picture that we have in miniature form of that which has already proceeded. This was called the Golden Age. There was no war. Not only was there no war, but there was prosperity on every hand. There was no hunger. We'll see next week how God will raise up a plant that will settle the food question all over the world. There will be no problem about food. God is going to just outdo himself, so to speak, for man's benefit. But as it was in the days of Solomon, so it will be in our time, too. It means that simply this, the more you give, the more man takes advantage of it. Even though a man will be enlightened, does not mean that he will be a convert. He's still the same Adamic, selfish creature that he's always been. He won't change. That has to be a heart change. See, Solomon was enlightened. Men are enlightened every day in America, but they go on their merry way. But today, one does not know what is the truth. There's so many lies coming in, and there's so many different sources, everything is springing from, you don't know what's going on. You just know there's something wrong. Solomon even had his own navy, notice in the preceding chapter. Verse 26, 1 Kings 9. King Solomon made a navy of ships in Azon Gibor, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Haram sent in the navy of his servants, shipmen, and the knowledge of the sea with the servants of Solomon. In other words, Haram was the king of Tyre. Now, it's interesting that Tyre would be the place he was the king of. Now, those of you who remember when we studied in the 20th chapter of Ezekiel, what does Tyre, you remember, speak about, the king of Tyre? Picture of who? Let's just read it for a minute. 20th chapter of Ezekiel. These are wonderful pictures of, when you put them all together, of what God is about. Ezekiel 28. We can start reading at verse 12, if you like. Look what this king, the king of Tyre, speaks about. Take a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now you can see it's not really referring to the king of Tyre, because had it been, the king would have been over 2,000 years old. And he certainly wasn't in. But there was somebody there, and look who he was. Thou hast been in Eden. The precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub. That's who this man is. The cherub. You know who the cherub is? That covers. I've set thee so thou hast in the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy way. Thou was perfect in thy way from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. And by the multitude of thy merchandise they filled the midst of thee with violence and thy sin. Therefore I will cast thee profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy the old covering cherub from the midst of the fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of what? Thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. So on. Going back, notice what the Golden Age exemplified. The great wealth. See how everything in here appeals to the natural man. What he thinks is wonderful. The golden description. The temple of God. The house that Solomon built for himself and his wives. You ought to read some of the stories of the places he built for his wives, and he had so many. I tell you, if you got 700 wives, you got to build houses for all of them. You got a problem. And that was just of the princes, and he had 300 concubines. That was of the common people. 1,000 altogether. I don't know how the man even lived. But anyway, can you imagine? He needed $137 million a year just in his upkeep alone. Think about that. We laugh about that. But you see, the reality of how God, when he does bless with material things, as Paul puts it, he blesses us with exceedingly great riches. That's plutocratic riches. That doesn't mean ordinary riches. That means the riches of the riches. And God certainly showered it down in that day and age for 40 years. There was nothing, read in Ecclesiastes, what Solomon himself testifies to. Look, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He did leave a record, though, so that man need not be deceived by all this. I said in my heart, Go to now, I'll prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. Boy, well, the world is going pleasure crazy, but you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till that golden age comes. You talk about pleasure. This is vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad. I said in my heart to give myself unto wine, clean my heart with wisdom and laying hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them, all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood and bring forth the trees. I got me servants and maidens, had servants born in my house. Also I had above all that were in Jerusalem, I had a great possession of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered unto me also silver and gold, the peculiar treasures of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, the lights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and God was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatsoever my eye desired, notice, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this is my portion of all my labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought, on the labor I had labored to do, and behold, all was vexation and no profit unto the son. In spite of all that God did for Solomon, in spite of all that he gave him, and how he by wisdom sought out to see if there was some profit in it, when he reached the end of the rainbow, there was no pot of gold there. See, it does not help man to give him all these things in his natural state. That's going to be proven again to man in the years ahead. This time, this whole planet is going to be rocked with an earthquake. It'll destroy it and change the whole typography of this planet, in particular Jerusalem. Did you know the city of Jerusalem in the millennial age, the plateau that it'll be left there upon will be 60 square miles. That's where our Lord, when he comes down, will be. That'll be the millennial temple. We live in a time, beloved, that's really, if you can appreciate it, that there's no generation I can think of on earth is so privileged as we are. I mean that. I just want to hold out to really say I told you so. If I'm wrong about the time, I may be wrong about the time, but I'm not wrong about the happenings. It's coming, I believe, though, soon. Everything points to it. The age of Solomon, you just need to go back and restudy that. You get a miniature picture of what's going to be on a worldwide basis. It'll all flow from Jerusalem, too. Every bit of it. That is a quick overall overview of what we're going to be looking at in the Sundays ahead. We're going to about at least two, three more Sundays at the details of this, so as you can see it. Can you imagine when hunger is no longer a problem with this world? When there'll be no need for subsidies and be no need for handouts? You talk about a golden age. This is what we're facing into. We're not facing doomsday. You'd think from what you hear on the radio and the television that our Lord's going to come down and snatch everybody up here and leave nobody down here but people going to hell. But that's not going to happen that way. If you have your hopes on the rapture that's being taught today, let me assure you, if you just live your 70 and 10, you won't even be here. There won't be anything here like you know about today at all. On the other hand, if you belong to the celestial calling, the resurrection will get us out, and we won't have to go through any of this stuff. And let me assure you that the golden age on this planet, compared with the ivory palaces that you're going into, will seem like child's play. Because you have no restrictions. You'll be really free. And you've got the little fruits of it now in grace. God's been letting you get away with things for years. But you no longer have that desire to be rebellious and to have your way. You'll be like Him, for you see Him as He is. And we'll meet Him in the place of our citizenship that He has already provided for us. This is the privilege, beloved, of the mystery that He's revealed in His last calling. And think about this, and I don't say this in a boasting way, but in a very grateful way. In Oklahoma City, not to even consider the nation. I may be wrong about this, I don't know. But it's, to my knowledge, there's not a single assembly in Oklahoma City that teaches anything about the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul and addressed to us for our private mail. Can you imagine that? That's how dark this old world is today. That's why we're in the condition we're in. Because we are supposed to be the light of the world, beloved. When you hear men get up and condemn the culture in which we live from a platform, a pulpit, and I think he should, and yet give them no solution, it's ridiculous. The mystery is the answer. It's the only answer. It answers all the question of religion. And God knows we've got more religion than what to do with. It's running out our ears everywhere we turn. There's so many different opinions. Nobody has had a real conviction that this is what the Lord says and this is it, period. This is why we have almost become in our little way, a sectarian group. That's a terrible thing to get into. We've not chosen that of our own free will. It's just that we've been ignored so long, and we're tired of it, and kind of pulls back in our shell. We have one calling, and that's to make all see what is the dispensation of the mystery. And we're not doing a very good job. Truth of the matter. In the light of what lies ahead. Let me put it to you from another way, because I want you to seriously be sober about this. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that come next year at the Feast of Pentecost that the enlightenment would come from heaven, Elijah would come and restore all things to Israel, what would you be doing between now and then? Think about that. If you have doubts about that, then you need to do a little studying to see if you have any grounds for that hope. And that'll keep you busy for the next year and a half to see whether or not, I'm telling you. I know you get tired sometimes hearing this same old call, but the only way I know to get these things across is just to keep repeating them over and over again until you actually, the Holy Spirit convinces you that this is where you are in history. And I believe it as sure as I'm sitting up here in front of you. I've got no axe to grind. I've just about reached the end of my totem pole, and consequently I tell you what's in my heart. Now, if you realize, going back to Revelation where we were last week, the truth of this city, this great city, and it is a great city at that time, our final destruction is in the 18th chapter. And this is how the writer sees it in its final state. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was enlightened with his glory. And he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen. Is fallen, has become the habitation of demons, hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean, hateful bird. All nations have drunk of the wine and the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Who's he talking about? My people will be the heart of Jerusalem, which is the Jewish capital. Be not partakers of her sins, ye that receive not her plagues. Her sins are reached into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her as she's rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup of which she has filled to her, double it. How much she's glorified herself and to live deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I have set a queen and no widow, I shall see no sorrow. Therefore, to her place come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. She should be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings, plural, of the earth, who committed fornication, lived deliciously with her, should bewail her and lament for her. When they should see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, the fear of her, torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Without going on reading the rest of it, notice the last verse, which again we called attention to last week. In her was found the blood of prophets and the saints and of all that is slain upon the earth, is charged to this final city that fulfills the system of the Babylonian system. Every religious body in the world will be represented there. And Tom was talking to me out in front of a little Japanese girl that was visiting with him for about an hour and a half. And she was looking forward to the time when all religions would be under one head. We'd all be brothers and sisters. That dream is going to come true, you see, in Babylon. That'll be the golden age. There'll be peace. Just like there was peace in Solomon's time. But you see, regardless of how much light you give the natural man, regardless of how much material wealth you give the natural man, it always ends up going after the false gods. We'll see this more next Sunday in more depth. But I think we've dealt the last two Sundays more or less in the scenario of the thing, so that you get a good picture of what we're facing. Now next Sunday and the following Sunday, we want to deal with the details of these things so that you can see the incidents that will take place from now until the close of that 40-year period. Might study with care the First Timothy chapter 4 and Second Timothy chapter 3 between now and next week. Father God, again, for the word and the fellowship here, this picture in miniature drawn from us from Solomon's time, a inside look at what lies ahead in the great city that is in the future, and the time of that period, and the time and place that we'll be playing in as we see next week. And to take for us, Lord, is to help us to keep these things in our minds so that we don't have to go back and keep repeating them, that we might be approved in your sight in these things. These graces, Father God, for Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.